Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We're going to continue to share with you today on the subject of how to live by God's manifested power and might. So far, we have seen the fact that believers in Christ are to live by the power of God in life. We can do it because we have a spirit of power from the Spirit of Christ that we received when we were born again. We've seen that specific power comes through the Word of God, which is written in our heart and mind as the gospel comes through power. And this word written in our heart and mind causes us to have the power of God resident in the inner man. And as we get the knowledge of God, that causes the power of God that gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's imperative that we know the Scriptures, otherwise we will not know the power of God. And through the Scriptures, then we'll have wisdom that produces the power of God to possess the salvation of the Lord. Now, as you get the Word of God in you, He wants you to be powerful in the Scriptures. And we talked about how we put on and clothe ourselves with the power of God as we put on the whole armor of God. It's important that we have the Word operating in all areas of our life so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. We also saw that in the last days it speaks of those who have a form of godliness but deny the power of God. If one has a form of godliness but denies the power of God, he's going to walk in the flesh after the ways of lust. He'll be ever learning, but he'll never come to the knowledge of the truth, because the only way you can come to the knowledge of the truth is by being a continual hearer and doer of the Word, so that you are a true disciple of the Lord. And as we come to the knowledge of the truth, then we're going to see that we're going to be free. Well, today we're going to continue on, and we're going to talk about the scriptural requirements to manifest the power of God in your life. First of all, you must believe in the power of God. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 to 30, here's where the two blind men came to Jesus, and he said to them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" The word able is the word dunamai, which means power. He said, "Do you believe that I have the power to heal you?" And they said, "Yea, Lord." And he said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." That shows that we must believe that Jesus has the power to bring forth the promises of God in our life, in this case, healing. Now, he does it through the Word. And of course, Jesus is the Word, so when you believe God's Word, you are going to believe that he has the power through the Word to perform the promise in your life. Unbelief will stop the power of God from working. We talked about Matthew 13:58, where he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The mighty works is the word dunamis, which means powerful works. So Jesus could not do the powerful works because of their unbelief, which means any unbelief, doubt, wavering will stop the manifestation of the power of God. A second requirement is we must know that the power is not of ourselves, but it's of God. In John chapter 5, in verse 19, the Son can do nothing of himself. The word can is this word dunamai, which means having power. And in verse 30, Jesus again said, "I can of mine own self do nothing." Again, the word can is dunamai. So Jesus had no power to do anything of himself. He could only do what he saw the Father do or heard him say. You and I have no power within ourselves to do it. It is God's power that is at work. 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Again, this word power is dunamis, so the power of God is going to be resident in us, the earthen vessels. It's not of us, it is of the Lord. And Acts chapter 3 and verse 12, here's where Peter was responding to the people concerning the lame man who was healed at the gate of the temple at the hour of prayer. And he said it wasn't by his own power or holiness that made the man to walk. Again, the power of God is not from us. It is from the Lord. In Romans 4:21, Abraham, it speaks of him saying how he was fully persuaded that what he'd promised, he was able. Again, the word dunamai meaning power. He had the power of God to perform it. That means the fact that God's promise and his power to perform his word will come into manifestation, but we're going to have to know the power of God is of him, and he will perform the word in our life. A third scriptural requirement is you must understand the cross of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the preaching of the cross, which really means the word of the cross, the word preaching is logos. The word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, or literally are being saved, it is the power of God. So the word of the cross is the power of God. And this, of course, power is dunamis, and it's important that we understand about the cross in our life. Born-again believers, we've been born again. We have a brand new spirit on the inside of us. We have a spirit of power. But through what the cross means is where something is to be put to death. And what are we to put to death? We are to put to death the flesh daily. We're to crucify the flesh, to put to death the deeds of the body so we do not walk in the flesh. Remember, if we walk in the flesh, we will not have the power of God manifest in our life. So we must understand the cross of Christ and this work of the cross of Christ in our life, because we're going to put to death anything that is not of the Lord and follow Jesus, the Word, to have the power of God in manifestation. Another scriptural requirement is know the power of God will manifest in you in the midst of your weakness of flesh. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, here's where Paul said, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That shows the fact that what Paul was talking about, the word power is dunamis, but also the word strength in this verse is also dunamis. Now, he says then, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So he's talking about God's power will work in the midst of our weakness. Now, what are our weaknesses? The weaknesses are the result of the flesh. So, as we take a look at this, it says, my power is being perfected or accomplished in your weakness of flesh, being unable to have power that produces results in our own flesh. So that's why Paul says, I'll glory in my weakness of flesh, knowing that I'm unable to do anything. I don't have any power to produce results, but that the power of Christ may reside or rest upon me. So believers are to realize that, of course, you're weak in the flesh, but the power of Christ can inhabit and occupy, rest upon, reside in you. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34, here's where it says in the midst of that verse, out of weakness were made strong. The word weakness is a particular word, which is asthenia, and this word is talking about a weakness of flesh, inability to do things. And when it talks about strong, strong is the Greek word endunamo, which means having power within. So this is indicating here that all believers in Jesus Christ are to be empowered within and manifest the power of God out of the fact that they have weakness or inability in themselves. So they're going to manifest the power of God. Another scriptural requirement is believers must overcome temptations from the enemy to take the word out of their heart. Well, when the word's written in a believer's heart, the power of God's resident in the inner man. However, the word will only stay there if you resist the temptations of the enemy. Remember in the parable of the sower, in Mark chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 15, how Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. This is why he comes for the word's sake. In verse 17, it says, affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake. And then they get offended. And remember when it talks about those that are sown on the thorns, such as hear the word, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it, the word, becometh unfruitful. That's in Mark 4, verse 15 to 19. We also see in Matthew 13, 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one, that's the devil, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. So what we see is the fact that Satan comes to take the word out of the heart. Remember, the word in you causes the power of God to be resident within you. So we've got to keep the word in our heart if we're going to have the power of God resident within us. And of course, the devil's going to use all kinds of things. He's going to come with affliction. He's going to come with persecution. And he's also, if you don't understand the word and aren't doing it, he's going to come and take it out of your heart, because you must do the word to keep it in the midst of your heart. Of course, the problem was they had no root system established, which occurs in a person's life by hearing and doing the word consistently. And you won't have power resident in you if you allow the enemy to come and take the word out. So this is why we got to resist the temptation. We've got to be ready to do the word so that we will keep the word in the midst of us and it will bring forth fruit. That's why you got to always be ready to deal with pressures, persecution, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. That's all from the enemy coming to try to choke the word so the word will become unfruitful in your life. So it's imperative that believers must hear and do the word continually so the power of God will reside in them, and they must be ready to resist the devil's temptation so he won't take it out of their heart. Another scriptural requirement is you must be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We mentioned previously about John 8 in verse 31, where Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." And in John 15:8 it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." Who are true disciples? Those that continue in the word, and they do not back off of it. They're hearers and doers of it. They get discipline in it. It becomes their lifestyle. And the result of that is the word continually abiding in them. Then they'll have the power of God resident within them. Now, at the same time, Luke 14 in verse 26 and 27 and 33, here it speaks of how he said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." It's going to take you being a disciple to be able to live by God's manifested power and might flowing through you. That means the fact that we're not going to let our possessions, our property, our wealth, anything that we have, hinder us from walking in the ways of the Lord. So what we have seen today is that we must believe in the power of God, eliminate any doubt, wavering, or unbelief. We must know that the power of God is not of ourselves, but it's of God. We must understand the cross of Christ is the power of God in our life. That's why we got to crucify the flesh daily. And this power will reside in us, and it will manifest in us in the midst of our weakness of flesh. At the same time, you've got to overcome the temptations from the devil so he is not able to take the word out of your heart. And if you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ, by continuing his word, you bear much fruit, you love him, you deny yourself, you crucify the flesh daily and come after Jesus in all you do, and you're not going to let anything hinder you from following Jesus, then you are meeting scriptural requirements in order to have the power of God resident in you and manifested out of you. We're going to continue in the next broadcast talking more about the scriptural requirements for you to be able to manifest the power of God in your life. As I close, I have a book on this subject called How to Live by Manifest Power and Might, available for $7, postage paid. To get it, please call 602-279-5212. In closing, I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. If you're looking for a church that teaches the uncompromised word and will minister healing and deliverance to you continually until you are set free, come to our services on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. and Wednesday at 7. The church is located at 2955 West Fairmount Avenue, just west of I-17 and Indian School. For information, call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.